Shalom, brethren. This is Brother James Veremu from Chitubiza here in Zimbabwe. I deem this a grand privilege to be able to come into this fellowship of the morning devotion. It's morning in this part of the world. And I'll say a very good morning to you all. It falls my lot, brethren, to speak to you this morning as we share the Word of God. We thank the Lord for opening this channel and enabling us to know one another by way of the Word of God, which is, I think, the most noble and blessed way of knowing one another. Like the scripture says, we have known each other in the flesh, and even we have known also Jesus Christ in the faith, in the flesh, but now we don't know one another in that way, but in the power of the new creation, which God has enabled us to be by His grace, and even the purpose of His calling. Now, we just want to go into the Word of God as we read from the book of Timothy, the second book of Timothy, chapter 2. We will read verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We just want to share this morning on this thought, the foundation of God. From the scripture reading, we see here that the church of God, or the saints of God, they have not come to worship God, or they are not built upon maybe what they have heard or some experience, but they are built only for knowledge of God. The Bible says, the foundation standeth sure, and it has a seal, and the seal is that the Lord God knoweth his own. So a seal means a completion. A seal means something has passed the test, something has acquired the standard. So now it can be sealed. Or even the king's seal, we see in the Bible, it is the confirmation of the word, the authority, and the permission of the king. That's when he puts his seal on a document or any letter, because he has affirmed it to be the expression of what he needs to be done, or what he has authorized to be done. So the church of God is sealed. And Paul, even in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30, he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, which was made a seal. by God even unto that day of redemption. So we see here that we are built upon a foundation, and we want to thank God that we have not been brought by something that can be imitated. We are not brought by something that can be a passing thing. We know miracles can happen in our lives, as you have seen in the ministry of Jesus Christ. It is not all who enjoyed the miracles. It's not all who even participated in the miracles that stood up to the end. So it's not just an experience. It's not just an encounter with God. But the scripture here tells us that the seal of God has been put on the foundation. Now, the grace of God has been shown to us that, as I said, we are not just built on the shifting sands of experiences, but we are built upon a foundation, and that foundation is sealed, it's confirmed, it's authenticated, it is proven by God that upon this foundation, the church will accomplish the purpose. And the seal now that is put on the foundation is the accomplishment of his purpose in our lives by the fact that he knoweth his own. Now, God does not learn. God does not acquire knowledge. God does not have knowledge from some other source. But the knowledge of God is the expression of who he is. The knowledge of God is his being, his essence. You cannot separate that knowledge from his power. You cannot separate that knowledge from his grace. You cannot separate that knowledge from his saving power. So the Lord, by knowing his own, that is the immovability of the saints of God who are called to worship God. In the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 33, we have this when Moses was talking with God and God was talking back to him. In Exodus 33, we read verse 17. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." So there's something again that goes with the knowledge of God. Moses was desiring to know how he was going to lead the people into the promised land. which was not something that the people had asked God to do, but it was a confirmation, it was a fulfillment of the promise that God had made to Abraham. So what made God to bring the people out of Egypt was not necessarily the pain they were going through. It was not because they had no recognition in Egypt. It's not because they were made slaves in Egypt. But it was because of the promise that God had made to Abraham that he would take his children to the land that he had given to Abraham. So here the Lord says, Moses, you have found grace in my sight, and also I know thee by name. So the knowledge of God of Moses, you know, opened the channel for the grace of God. God was not just throwing his grace into something that was not the expression or was not built upon the foundation. So he says, I know you by name, and because of that, you have found grace in my sight. So the grace of God was channeled to Moses so that he can lead the people out of bondage, because God knew Moses, and it says here, he knew him by name. Now, name is not just something given to somebody. Now, we know in our day, we have our children, we give them names in the anticipation that they will be that character who once had that name. But when God knew Moses, he knew him by the name that he eternally put on Moses for the purpose of his calling. So when God was calling Moses, he was calling him by name. So is it with us? God calls us by name. That's why we see also in the book of St. John, in chapter 10, in verse 14, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. So, we are the sheep of his fold. We are his sheep, you know, not like any other shepherd or any other owner of sheep. You know, let's take it in the natural. Any farmer would like to have sheep, and he chooses the best breed. He chooses, you know, what can be good for him. But the sheep of the Lord are not chosen by breed. They are not chosen by their size. They are chosen because he knows. So we being the sheep of his fold, he called us by our name. We have a name, and that name translates what we are to him. That name is the expression of what he means to us. So he knows us by name. What that name can enable us to do in his economy. That's why Moses, he told him, I know you by name. That name by which God knew Moses would enable Moses to listen to God would enable Moses to follow the word of God, would enable Moses to do the job unto which he was called. And God knew him from that perspective. He knew him from that, what his name was. That's why Paul says, we have a sure foundation. We are built upon a solid foundation where we cannot be moved by circumstances, where we cannot be moved by something that can come or prop up along the way. Anything that comes along the way has no bearing on us to move us from that which is in the beginning, in the foundation, because that's where we are built. And we have a name given unto us. The scripture says in the book of Revelation, we have had our names written in the Lamb's book of life, who was slain from before the foundation of the world. So, the blood, or when we talk of the book of the Lamb, we are talking of the record of the Lamb. We are talking of the character of the Lamb. We are talking of the purpose of the Lamb. All that, like when Jesus came, he says, sacrifices and offerings thou would not have, but you have prepared yourself a body. And in the book, it is written, I am written in the book, and I have come to do thy will. So Jesus Christ, when he came to accomplish the purpose of God as he was written in the book. He is in the record. He is in the mind and the purpose of God. And he came to accomplish that. So, our names were written in the Lamb's book of life. And those names are the very expression, the very meaning of who we are. So God did not know us after our own names. You know, as we pursue this journey of life, we can acquire names, or we can add onto our names. We can even change our names because of something that we have done. But with God, it is not what has happened today that gives me my name. It is not my experience today that gives me that redemptive name. So, God said to Moses, I know you by name. My brothers and sisters, we did not bump into this calling of God. We did not accidentally fall in the way. But as the scripture says, God has known you, my brother. God has known you, my sister, by your name. Not what you gave yourself, not what dad and mom gave you, but that which is in the book, that which is in the record, that which is in the very life of the blood of the Lamb of God. So, God has called us by that name so that he can accomplish what he needed in our lives. So we have a sure foundation. Moses was told by God, don't you worry because I have known you by name. And I don't want to believe that God knew Moses by a name that was given to him by some human being. He was known of God by his name. And when God was calling Moses, he was not calling him after or by the name that a human being could have called him. But God was calling him by a name that had its origin, that had its application from the very beginning. When God assigned this job to Moses, brothers and sisters, we have been called by God. And as much as anybody or can come to worship God, can come, to identify himself with God, that is not our calling. We can see in Samaria, when Philip went to preach the gospel, it says many believed because of the miracles that Philip did, which were more than or which outclassed what that sorcerer was doing, that Simon. Now, that could have been a screen that was put before the people that they may see the power of God. But really, the drawing power was beyond that. For when they believed and were baptized, and John and Peter came to pray for them that they may be filled with the Holy Ghost, Simon, who was also baptized. Now, if you can see, he could see which any reasonable person could see that what he was doing was far below what Philip did as far as the demonstration of power was concerned. Yet, though he recognized that and supposedly believed, when the time for the baptism of the Holy Ghost came, he said he wanted to buy that power. He wanted to buy the ability to give others the Holy Spirit. And then he was told that he was not worthy. He did not belong to this blessing because he was of the devil. We look at Judas Iscariot. He participated in the ministry until he even got the title of apostle. Yet he could not continue. Why? Because his name was not in the Lamb's Book of Life. But we have this sure foundation that the Lord knows his own. And God has called us by that name. And as we have seen in the book of Exodus, there is something that goes in the channel of that name. God said to Moses, "You have found grace in my sight because I know you by your name." So the grace of God flowed to Moses. The grace of God has flowed to us because God knew us. You know, what a blessed privilege. What a blessedness that has been imparted on us, that we have been brought to God by the grace of God. Because we were enabled to come to the reality or to come in contact with our name. Experiences and what we did gave us names. Our birth gave us the name to be Gentiles. Our behavior gave us names, maybe to be thief, to be adulterer, to be all these dirty things or dirty names. Yet, because of that foundation, God has flowed his grace to us. Many were in the same condition as us, but they could not be picked. But the grace of God got to you, my brother. It got to you, my sister, not because of what you did. Not just maybe because you heard the word of God. Hearing the word of God minus the grace of God, it will never get us anywhere. But we want to thank God that he has known us. And that is our sure foundation. That is the seal of our calling. And also, that is the purpose of our calling, that we were written in his book. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came on earth, he says, in the record, maybe we can just read that as we come to the close. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. God called us by that power and the revelation of his grace. Amen. We want to go to the book of Hebrews. We just want to read one thing here. In verse 5 of chapter 5, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. So here we see again that the Lord Jesus Christ did not glorify himself, but he was founded on the fact that he who made him an high priest said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Now, if you read the rest of this scripture, it shows now how that sonship enabled him to acquire the office of priesthood, even after the order of Melchizedek, who had no beginning of time, no ending of years. So we thank God that in this same order, as Jesus Christ had nothing to glory in himself, meaning we cannot glory in something that we did not do. So I glory myself in my excellency in sport or in academic fluency or in things that I have done. So the Lord Jesus Christ never boasted or glorified himself in anything, because what he was, was not because of what he encountered as he pursued this life, but it was what God had made him. Today, you have been begotten of me. You are my son. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May God bless you as we may be through the day. Ponder on these things as the Lord, by his grace, because of his knowledge of who you are, will expound these few words I've spoken, will bring the true revelation of what the scripture is pointing us to. We have a good day and a blessed one. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.